Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. Philippians 3, verses 12 through 15. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. And let's pray. Father, again, thank you for the word of God. Lord, thank you for this group of people. Lord, may we realize never again in history will we be assembled exactly this way in the same fashion with the same group of people. And that means you have a truth for us. You have a truth that can change our life. I pray that you do that today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. I realize that we are at the end of one year and about to start a new year. This is the time of the year where it seems like everybody is analyzing. You look in the newspaper, you look at the news. Well, 2013 we had this, will 2014 be this? And you have all the end of the year summaries, you have all of the future hopeful predictions for the next year. I'm about to make a statement here. I find that most people don't know how to look back and analyze what just happened. They really don't. And they really don't know how to plan the next year. If you look, I looked at Fox News just for a moment this morning. I don't read much news on Sunday mornings because I don't want to come to the pulpit depressed, amen? But it's hilarious. It says, you know, 2013 was a good year with the stock market. Will it be up or will it be down for 2014? And they've got all their analysts that are predicting this, that, the other thing. Of course, you've got political people that are analyzing what happened politically last year. You say, what happened? Stuff we don't even want to talk about. You say, why? Because the Bible says, forget those things which are behind, reach forth into those things which are before. Amen. Now, I look at life a bit differently. I really believe that life has a, and I'm going to use a word here that many of you will understand. Life is like a recipe. It has a formula. There are things that you can do. And Brother Brett, I feel like I got just a little echo or ring in this. It might be my monitors more than anything, but if you could just touch that for me. A formula or a recipe can be reproduced. Some of you ladies know what I'm talking about. You can cook the same meal several different times, and as long as you follow the recipe, it comes out the same way or close to it each time. Thank you, Brother Brett. I don't know what you did, but you fixed it. Now, God tells us in Philippians 3:13, the Bible says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into the things which are before. Say, what are we to forget? We're to forget the failures. We're to forget the wrongdoing. We're to forget the unsuccessful things and reproduce that which is successful. You need to look back at this last year and realize what did not work and don't reproduce that. You need to look back at last year and look at what did work and reproduce more of it. See, here's what happens. We look back and we can remember what happened, most of us, yesterday. Some of us can remember what happened last week. Some even a couple weeks ago, but we're not real good about looking back and fixing things. We're not real good at looking back and looking at the failure and the unsuccessful and saying, What did and did not work? Now, listen to this statement. I will help you. I like history. But there's very few history books out there that are worth reading. Because they're as boring as last year's Christmas tree. I mean, they're dry, they're dusty, they're just... And most history teachers, I'd rather listen to Charlie Brown's teacher. You know, I'd get more out of it. When I say I like history, every one of you thought of your high school history teacher that was the most boring thing. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Because I had them too, trust me. But history is the study of what did and did not work. Ben Franklin was famous for the statement he made that I kind of used as a motto for teaching history. Those who do not learn from history are destined to repeat it. See, the problem is history keeps repeating itself. Can I tell you why history keeps repeating itself? Because people don't learn from history. They don't go back and look at what did not work, and they keep doing what did not work. They don't look back and look at what did work and reproduce more of what did work. America's new philosophy is socialism. And it's been, by the way, it's been being taught in our public schools and our public colleges for the last 60 years. Since World War II, we started inviting the socialists and the communists to our campuses to teach it. And we've adapted the philosophies. Show me a communist or socialist nation that is producing anything financially worthwhile. It doesn't work. Socialism needs capitalism to survive. Socialism will not produce. Just so you know. Okay, everybody doing all right? That's how you study history. Look back at what did not work, don't reproduce it. Look back at what did work, and let's do more of it. You need to, in order to have a happy new year, look back at what did not work, look back at what did work, and let's move forward. Cooking, I'm going to make a statement here. Don't get mad at me, ladies. I'll explain it. Cooking really isn't very hard. Is all you have to do is follow a recipe. Those of you that have learned how to follow a recipe, and by the way, not cheat, not think you know more about it, not change it, but you do it as the recipe says, guess what? Every time you do it, it comes out virtually the same way. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I've worked a lot with young people, and I'd hear girls say, oh, I can't cook. I'd say, can you read? Yes, you can cook. If you can read, you can cook. Say, why? All you have to do is find the right recipes, read the recipe, follow it line upon line, precept upon precept. Guess what? It comes out the same way every time. Now, as you learn recipes, listen to this statement. You can change it around a little bit and spice it up to your own tastes. But you have to learn the recipe first. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of you ladies started pretty basic. Now you've learned it, and you can look at that recipe and say, yeah, I know it says that, but instead of putting this spice in, I'm going to put that one and this one and this one, and we're going to ramp that thing up a little bit. Ooh, now we're going somewhere. Now, wait a minute. It's the same basic recipe, and you didn't change the recipe. You just spiced it up to your taste. The first time you do it, you shouldn't do it that way, though. You ought to find out if it's going to work first. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, the devil tempted Jesus to turn stones to bread. Some of you ladies turned bread to stones, amen? Oh, my soul. We first got married. By the way, my wife is a fabulous cook. She has learned well. And she's taught my daughter well. But I remember our first apartment could have fit on this platform. Just about. I'm not kidding. We had a tiny little studio apartment. And I mean, Those of you that are from the Hammond, Indiana area, we were in the Greenbrier Apartments, if y'all know what that is. And I was in a studio apartment in the Greenbrier Apartments. Outside our window, from about here to the parking lot, was the train track. And at 1:30 every morning, there was a train that went through, and there was two streets that passed on either end of Greenbrier Apartments, and that stupid train would blow his horn at both of those. All the way through there, at 1:30 in the morning. Until you got used to it, at 1:30 in the morning, you thought the rapture was going on. Lord have mercy. Now, wait a minute. I remember we decided my wife and I were going to help with a group of teenagers we were working with at the time. She was going to make cream puffs. Something didn't work. We didn't have cream puffs. We had cream flats. They were about that thick, amen? You know, we turned them from cream puffs to, what do they call those things, crepes, and filled them with cream and filled them, slapped them puppies around like burritos, and we were okay. I learned a long time ago, teenagers don't care what it looks like, just get it in the hatch. Amen? It didn't have to look good. Now, she was embarrassed. Everybody was, oh, man, these are good. I said, look, they don't care. We joked about it for years. Cream flats, not cream puffs. Amen? Now, wait a minute. Having a happy, productive life is much the same way. You need to find the recipe and keep reproducing it. As you become successful at it, you can spice it up a little bit. Just don't change the recipe. Now, let me show you what I mean. When you're cooking, you don't substitute salt for flour. That would be tragic. Can you imagine baking a cake with no flour but putting salt in because it's the same color? You wouldn't even want to put your fork in it. Say why? Well, you substituted something that should not be substituted. Can you imagine making biscuits and instead of putting baking soda in, you put cream soda in? Say, well, it's got the word soda in it. It's okay. Yeah, that's a man doing it, amen? Wait a minute. You can't substitute certain things. You have to have a base recipe before you can spice it up. Y'all know what I'm talking about? All right. Many of you ride the roller coaster of emotions in life because you don't organize your life above the emotion of things. Some of you let life happen to you and you live on this up and down, 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 up and down. Roller coaster of life, and you live by the emotion of everything that takes place. Now listen to this, because you have not organized yourself, you've not figured out the recipe to make it happen to where you can live above those emotions. Let me say it this way. Emotions are not bad. God gave you those emotions. You were created in the image of God. And by the way, men and ladies, you have the emotions God has. The difference is God's not driven by his emotion. He doesn't live by his emotion. Though he gave us those emotions to experience life the right way. Now, emotions can change as life changes. But joy is stable no matter what the emotion. You catch that? Amen. Guess what? People died in 2013. Guess what? People will die in 2014. People were born in 2013. People will be born in 2014. You have grief, you have joy. You have death, you have life. There are people that will succeed in 2014. There were people that will succeed or have succeeded in 2013. Guess what? There are people that failed in 2013. There are people that will succeed and fail both in 2014. Say why? If you're not careful, you're going to allow the emotion to control you. God never said that we could or live or that we ever would live without problems. Did you catch that? There is no place in the Bible where God said that you'll live without problems. These charismaniacs and Pentecostals and all these other, they call them health and prosperity gospel people. Oh, just trust Jesus and all your problems go away. Let me ask you a question. What was Jesus' life like on this earth? He ran from people so that he wouldn't die early because they were trying to kill him. He didn't have a home. He was a homeless man. Guess the life of Jesus Christ doesn't match their gospel, does it? That proves their gospel is wrong. Jesus did not live a problem-free life. Let's look at Calvary. I guess that philosophy doesn't work, does it? Some of you think that everything going right means you're in God's will. Usually it means you're not. I have found that the devil doesn't fight that which is not bothering him. He will fight that which is bothering him. If you're in his will, you're in for the battle of your life. Just hang in there. Now, let me say this. Being saved means you have someone to go through those problems with you, though. You see, you have to live and organize your life in such a way to where you can handle what you are about to face. I'm going to show you a recipe for a happy 2014. For a happy life. Are you ready? Here we go. Number one, you need to organize your time. To have a happy life, you have to organize your time. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Can I tell you something? The more evil our society gets, the more we must plan our time. Folks, most of our failures are schedule failures. Most of our failures are time failures. I have nobody in mind, so if you think I'm preaching at you, I am. I have nobody, nothing in mind. I didn't stand at the door today and write down the time of everything that took place. But most of you could solve a lot of your problems if you just show up on time. If you showed up to work on time, you'd have less trouble at work. It's just that simple. If you showed up to church on time, you'd have less problems. If you made it to your appointments on time, you'd have less problems. Now, again, I have nobody in mind. I live by schedule. But I live with gaps in my schedule to take care of people that don't show up on time. It doesn't bother me. Now, it should bother you. By the way, when it's time to start church, we start church. Some of you, if I ran this church like you run your life, you wouldn't come back to this church. If I started church tonight at 6:15 rather than 6 o'clock and didn't tell anybody, now some of you wouldn't know the difference, but you would never know what time to show up. Guess what? We're going to start right on time. Brother Smith and I meet in my office before every service. I'm constantly watching the clock. I know exactly what time we pray and get out of that office to walk through this door right on time. Say why? Because I'm constantly watching it. I watch the clock. That's why it's back there for me to see and not you. So that while I'm preaching, I know how fast, how slow to be so that I can get done on time. So that I can give you back. And I'm conscious of your time. Folks, we just need to show up on time. You say, well, there was rain and I always leave at this time. Okay, leave earlier when there's rain. Can I teach you something? Leave early when there's snow and you can get there. Oh, wow. You have to drive slower in bad weather. That means you have to leave a few minutes earlier. Did you figure that out? Wow. Can I tell you something? Organize your time at home to get more done. Man, I feel like I am all alone up here today. I'll make this statement, and in a little while we'll get back to it. But some of you ladies feel overwhelmed, and you're overwhelmed because you don't schedule your time. Now, I realize if I had 2, 3, 4, 5 kids at home, and them puppies don't always go on schedule, trust me. And then you throw into that somebody being sick, so you got extra. But there are certain things you could do. Okay, laundry. Some of you just do it as it piles up. Schedule it. Just schedule it. Say, these days, these times, I'm doing laundry. Like it or lump it, there it is. If it isn't to the laundry by then, guess what? It waits till the next time. The way it was when I was growing up, we knew when laundry time was, and if we didn't get the dirty clothes there, either we washed it ourselves or we waited till the next laundry day. That's just the way it was. And by the way, my mom never stressed over laundry. Say why? Because we knew when laundry day was. It was just always that way. Everybody doing okay? All right. Maybe you need to chart out the chores. When I came home from school, we knew we had 30 minutes to play, and then it was homework time. We'd been cooped up in school all day long. My mom and dad were smart enough to say, go run out all that energy. We got to play for a little bit. Then it was time to get serious about work. Got the homework done, and as soon as we got it done, we were free. Man, there's times I didn't get my homework done, said I got it done, so I'd go back out and play. Guess what? It showed up later, trust me. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's called a report card. Yeah. Then I didn't get to come home and play. I got to come home and work. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Some of you need to plan your work at work better. Some of you could be more productive if you'd plan your work schedule better. Number two, because that one went over like a lead balloon. Number two, organize your work. You thought you were mad on the first point. Point number two is going to get you ticked off. Can I tell you something? Some of you try to plan too much at once. Some of you ought to just work on tomorrow's work. Organize it for tomorrow, organize it for the week, organize it for the month, and organize it for the year. Most people don't have the character to plan a whole year at one time. They really don't. Now, I have certain things in the church calendar already all the way through this year. The church calendar for 2014 is just about totally finished. Now, there's some things we're going to add, I'm sure. But the base calendar, it's been prepared for a long time. I'm already working on 2015. You say, wait a minute, we haven't got out of 2013 yet. I know. But to keep a church going, you've got to learn to plan way in advance. There's just certain things you got to get in the schedule. And to keep everything in a good rhythm and going and keep it all going and fluctuating the right way, you've got to plan certain things into it. Can I tell you something? Some of you show up, if you're supposed to be at work at 8 o'clock, you get there at 7:59 and wonder why you don't get as much done during the workday. Maybe some of you need to plan to get to work early, and before you start work, plan out the whole day while you're there before you're supposed to start working. Say, well, I might not get paid those 15 minutes. No, but you might get paid more because you've organized yourself, and you can get more done in the 8 hours you're supposed to be working. Everybody doing okay? Okay. Most of you waste the boss's time by planning out your time. Okay. Some of you just need to plan the night before what's going to happen the next day. Now, sure as the world, this happened to somebody here this morning, and I have no idea. But the reason your kids couldn't find their clothes this morning is because you didn't get them ready last night. Every week, every day of my life growing up, we had to have our school clothes set out the night before. We had to have our books set out by our clothes. We had to add all put together before we went to bed that night. You say, why? That way in the morning, we weren't running around like chickens with our heads cut off trying to figure out where everything was. Can I tell you something? I never stressed in the mornings going to school. I never did. I wasn't running around trying to find a belt or a shoe. I wasn't running around trying to find a pair of pants that I couldn't find. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Say why? Because it was all done the night before. Some of you mamas could save yourself a lot of stress. Some of you could get to church on time if you got it all set out the night before. Say, well, I'd have to think about it. No. Well, we were doing okay till we couldn't find, get it all set out. You know, have junior one, junior two, three, four, five, six, seven, however many juniors you got, get it all set out there. I don't care if you got to have a bin with their name on it, put it all in one pile, amen. Whatever it takes to help you stay organized, do it. I'll promise you it's less stressful.
Yes, amen.
I'll promise you. Organize your work. Write down ideas while you're working of things you need to fix or work on later. It doesn't rain every day here. I've discovered a couple problems this morning with the church that I've got to work on. Brother Taylor's getting dripped on at the front door because the seal along the grid up there at the awning needs resealed. Well, I remember this morning, after the last rain we had, I forgot to write down, I need to fix that. Guess what? It's written down. It's going to get fixed.
Amen.
Say why? Because I didn't write it down last time. Guess what? I forgot. Just like you do. Brother Dan Sliwa reminded me of an opportunity we had. He said, Brother Bush, can I make a suggestion? I said, sure. Guess what? I wrote it down. I'm taking him up on the suggestion because it's a right suggestion. Say why? Because I forgot to write it down. I'm like you. I got to write it down. Man, I'm constantly writing ideas down, throwing them in my pocket. That's why I walk around with a stack of 3x5 cards. You say, why? Because I'm constantly having ideas to work on. Everybody doing okay? Okay. You'd be surprised how many sermons I've gotten while I'm out and about, walking around, driving around, heard somebody say this, saw something happen, write down the sermon idea, throw it in my pocket, throw it in a file I have. I have sermon idea files that thick. I have about four stacks of sermon ideas about that thick right now. There's probably 300 or 400 sermon ideas I'm working on right now. Say why? Just from ideas? Just from ideas? I write it down. It's not, oh, I'll remember that. A man who trusts his memory is a man not to be trusted.
Amen.
Number three, organize your stuff. I didn't know what other word to put there. You're going to find out. I'm not one of these neos that has pretty outlines. Amen. They're not all alliterative. They're practical. Organize your time. Organize your work. Organize your stuff. Let me ask you a question. This is for you men. What's your closet look like? Point number two. All right. Some of you can't find what you're looking for because you didn't put it up. What's your dresser drawers look like? I know. Next point. Now, wait a minute. My wife will tell you this. Everything in my dresser drawers has a spot. I can literally take out clothes in the total pitch black middle of the night, know exactly what I got because it's in the same spot every time. I can do it with my eyes closed. Matter of fact, most time I do. Shut up. Don't comment on that. All right? I know exactly where it's at. Say why? Because it goes back in the same place. It's amazing if you put things in the same spot every time it's there. Wow! And I'm not talking about on the post at the end of the bed. Say, I put it there for my wife to find. That's the way it works. Amen? Fellas, some of you could be more productive at work if you would organize your tools. Now, I grew up in a mechanic's home. Trust me, my dad knew when a screwdriver was out of spot. If you walked into my dad's workshop right now, amen, Brother Kermit, there is a spot for everything. My dad is in Florida right now. If I called my dad and said, Dad, I need this tool, he would tell me where at in his shop, which drawer, which spot on the wall, what tool was on both sides, above and below it, and tell me exactly where that thing is. And if it wasn't there, he'd say, where'd you put it? I'm not kidding. Say why? Because he has a spot for everything, and as soon as he's done, he puts it back there. That's how he knew when my brother took tools. Not me. Now, wait a minute. Some of you need to organize your office that way. Your files. Whatever it is that you work with, it needs to be Man, I am really feeling lonely up here. Now that I got on the men, let's get on the ladies. Ladies, organize your kitchen. Thank you, Mrs. Schenneberger. All right. Some of you can't find it because you didn't put it away. Now, wait a minute. And I'm not meddling, trust me. But I could help relieve a lot of stress in your life. Potato chips go in a certain spot. Amen. Canned goods go in a certain spot. My wife puts the canned goods even lined up with the same stuff in the same column in there. You say, why? She's just organized that way. I love it. Now, it's not always in the spot I would look, but that's not my kitchen. That's hers. I'll say, where do I look? She'll tell me, it's there. It doesn't have to be organized to my fashion. That's her kitchen, not mine. By the way, fellas, you'll find out you're a whole lot better off that way. Quit complaining about it. She gets it done. You got food every day. Shut up. Did I say that right, ladies? Did I do okay for you? All right. Number four. I got to hurry here. You need to organize your relationships.
Ooh.
Let me ask you a question. Do you organize your relationships? Do you organize? I'll just go. Let me start with one that's a little less sensitive. People that don't live near you in your family, have you organized your relationship with them? I've used this before. Every Saturday, I call my grandmother. She's 95. She'll be 96 in April. And for 25 plus years, I have called her every Saturday of my life. I promise you, in 25 years, you could count on that hand the times I did not get a hold of her. Promise you. Say why? Because that's part of my plan to keep that relationship alive. Everybody doing okay? I hate using this word. It's almost a religious thing with me. I mean, I have, and it's not always at the same time, because my schedule sometimes gets a little hectic, but I at least call her every Saturday of my life. Yesterday got away from me, and it was about 7:30 at night before I got a hold of her. She said, oh, honey, I know you're busy. You don't have to do this. Yes, I do. I want to. Say why? Because it's not going to be too much longer that I won't have that opportunity. You got to remember, at 95, I started that when she was 70. I didn't know at age 70 how much longer I'd have. Don't tell my dad I said that. But wait a minute. I've been doing it for 25 years. Guess what? I hope I can do it for another 25 years. She doesn't hope that, but I do. Now, wait a minute. Do you plan that, though? Do you plan your phone calls? I realize not all of the ones you get you can plan, but I'm talking about to keep the relationships going. Plan your time with people. You unmarried young adults and teenagers. Unplanned time is when you get in trouble. Unplanned time is when you get in trouble. You college kids home for the holidays. I realize downtime is good. You needed physical time to recover from a semester of college, amen? And there's nothing wrong with that. You're getting ready to go back to the grind. Okay. But the worst thing, the kids that get in trouble at college the most are the ones that don't do anything. They just sit there and do nothing, unplanned time, and that's when they get in trouble. I tell our college kids, stay busy. For most of them, that's not hard. Matter of fact, most of our kids, I could tell them slow down a little bit. Say, why? Because you that unplanned time is when you're going to get yourself in trouble. Those of you that grew up in the world and have a tougher past, let me ask you a question. How often did you plan your trouble? Or did it just happen because you didn't plan?
That's good. Yes, sir. Amen.
Okay, moving on. Those of you that talk on the telephone for mass quantities of time, can I tell you something? You ought to have a plan. Those of you that just sit there and talk 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 and talk, guess what? That's when you start gossiping. That's when you start sharing negative. That's the Bible says that, and don't get mad at me, in the multitudes of words there wanteth not sin. When you don't plan your talk, guess what? You'll talk about sin. You'll talk yourself into sin. Some of you need to learn what see you later means. Some of you need to know what I've got to go now means. Everybody doing okay? Plan it. I don't call people just to say, hi, how are you? I don't have anything to talk about. I just wanted to call and talk. What do you want to talk about? I don't know. What do you want to talk about? I don't know about you. I got way too much to get done in life than to do that. Everybody doing okay? Man, am I feeling like I'm in trouble. Some of you need to plan time with your spouse. A regular planned time with your spouse. Some of you need to plan time with your children. My kids were home from college this last week. Guess what? I planned. I took 3 days off. I know. That's hard to believe, but I did. I took 3 whole days off. They were ready for me to go back to work, trust me. But I took 3 days off for Christmas. You know what? We planned to have some fun. Now, some of it was loose planning. What day was it? Thursday? Must have been Thursday. We went to the mall and played putt-putt. Now, that's a hoot, let me tell you. I got 2 competitive college boys that are both struck. I got a daughter who's trying to keep up with her brothers, and my wife and I. By the way, my wife and I beat all 3 of the kids. We tied. I got about, you know, and I enjoy golf, but I told you all this before. I don't play to let my kids win. I've played since the day they were born to win. I don't care how little they were. And I didn't feel bad beating them when they were 3 years old. The agony of defeat and the thrill of victory, okay? They had the agony, I had the thrill. I still play for keeps, amen? About the 4th hole in, every time I'd go to putt, it was like everything was moving. I couldn't figure out what was going on. I hadn't played putt-putt golf since I got bifocals or trifocals. And the lighting in there was horrible. I'd take the flag stick out so I could putt because the flag stick was screwing up my glasses and everything was... Once I started pulling the flag stick, everything was okay. I started winning again, amen? But I wasn't happy the first few holes. We were walking out. We got to back by hole number 1 and there's a sign that says, do not remove flag sticks. I said, whoops. Guess I didn't read the sign, huh? Now, wait a minute. We had planned fun. And we had fun. I watched my boys lose. That was fun. You know, I'm going to make a statement here. Plan your time to where you don't dominate one person. Some of you want a best bosom buddy to where all you do is you have them at every beck and call. Can I tell you something? That's not reality.
Amen.
I'd rather have 100 friends than one that I dominate their time with. Some of the people I am closest to, I might get to see them once a year. I'm not kidding. I'm close to a lot of preachers. You know, there's about 7 or 8 preachers every Sunday morning I text real early in the morning. It's gotten to be almost a game now. I got a couple of them that try to get up earlier than me in the morning and say, ah, I beat you. Say, what do you text them? Something encouraging. I don't have my phone with me, but I was going to read it to you. So, Brother Smith, you can't check to see if I have my phone on. But this morning I said something. Good morning. I love you. I'm praying for you. We're finishing 1 year and starting another. And I said, let's kick the devil hard. That's encouraging to a preacher. I don't know about you, but every once in a while I got to remind myself to do that. I'm not kidding. And man, you ought to see some of the texts I get back and this, that, and the other thing. It's exciting. I think there's about a half a dozen or more preachers that have been encouraged in the last year because I do that every Sunday morning. You know how many of those guys have told me, Brother Bush, you've taught me something, and I've reached out to other preachers, and I'm doing the same thing in my area and around, and boy, it's catching. Hey, I like that. Say why? I'm just trying to be an encouragement. And I get encouraged by encouraging somebody. So I try to encourage somebody. And if I can keep a man of God encouraged, guess what? There's seven or eight churches that have gotten encouraged in the last year because I kept their preacher encouraged because I encouraged me. Boy, that's good stuff. There's a couple of those guys I haven't seen in the last 12 months face to face. But we're close. You don't have to see somebody every day to be close to somebody. Everybody doing okay?
Yes,
by the way, that does not work in a marriage, just so you know. All right, number five. This is where you're going to get really mad at me. Organize your walk with God.
Amen.
Organize your walk with God. Let me ask you a question. What time and where do you read your Bible?
Good.
What time and where do you pray?
Amen.
Well, whenever. That's why your walk with God is what it is. What time do you go soul winning? When do you yield to the Holy Spirit daily? Everybody doing okay? I have a little brass plate that I put on my pulpit up here. It says, I yield to the Holy Spirit. Every time I'm preaching, every time I walk to this pulpit, I see that. Every time I'm standing right here, it reminds me to do that. I have little reminders like that all over. Everybody doing okay? Now, God created the world to be happiest when it was organized. Did you ever notice that every day of the world, the sun comes up and goes down? And it's predictable. It's on schedule. Do you ever realize that the seasons never get out of order? God planned the world so that it ran in an order. If you want to learn how to organize, go to Genesis chapter 1 and look what God did.
Amen.
He put it in order, set it in motion, and said, okay, man, you keep up with it. I gave you the foundation. It will run without you, but it will be spiced up and better for you if you take care of it. Do you know that if you don't get up on time tomorrow morning, God won't stop the sun for you? You know that God's not going to change the seasons for you? Now, listen very carefully. God made you to be happiest then with an organized life. I have about 4 or 5 statements, and I'm done. Number one, how do you successfully organize? Number one, get counsel from successful organizers.
Amen.
Some of you that are disorganized, and by the way, that doesn't mean your whole life is disorganized, but you've got an area of life that you haven't been able to organize and conquer yet. Go find somebody that can help you organize it and organize it. Whether it, I'm going to get in trouble. Whether it be cleaning your house, whether it be in my case, your weight. I had to organize my diet so that I didn't get out of control. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Now, this time of the year, who cares? Monday's coming. Amen, Brother Mark?
Amen.
Not sure which Monday, but Monday's coming.
Amen.
I'm going to make a statement here. Successful people that know how to organize aren't going to come to you and say, let me help you. They're going to wait for you to go to them. Ask people who are organized in areas you are weak. Just because they know how to organize their tools, listen to this statement, doesn't mean they know how to organize your walk with God. Just because they're organized in their household chores doesn't mean they're organized in their relationships. You need to find people that are strong in the areas you're weak and go to them and get advice and get help. Don't seek advice from people that are equally or less organized than you are just because you like them. And by the way, just because they have it together in one area doesn't mean they have it together in all areas. Every one of us have one of those drawers in our house that's totally disorganized. Y'all know, you know, the junk drawer? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, some of you, it's more than one. Some of you, it's a whole basement or a garage or a shed or all of the above. But wait a minute. All of us have those little pockets we throw things. Amen? Now, wait a minute. You need to get advice from people that intimidate you in that area. Can I tell you where I learned to organize my schedule? You ask my wife, you ask my mother, because they've known me the longest of anybody in this room. I was the world's best procrastinator. I found out real early in the ministry, you don't procrastinate and survive. I was the best procrastinator. I was one of those people that believed, well, I can wait to the last minute because that pressure makes me do better. Yeah, everybody can do it because they have to. But you can only fly by the seat of your britches so long till something hangs out. And everybody knows it. Let's be honest. Some of you wait to the last second because that's when I do my best work. Yeah, but everybody else around you is all freaked out, panicked, and can't stand you because of it. Can I tell you where I learned to organize my time? A man named Dr. Jack Hiles. My first pastor that I worked for in California was a supreme organizer. I worked for Brother Owens. Guess what? I learned how to organize my time. You know, the schedule book I have sitting on my desk right now is the same one Dr. Jack Hiles used. Guess what? It worked for him. It'll work for me. Mine's not done on my phone, not done on my iPad. I still use a pen and a piece of paper on my desk. And until the day I die, I will use it that way. You say, why? We've got such better. Guess what? It works. I'm not changing it. I don't have little dingers that go off to remind me. I look at my schedule enough to know what's happening next. How many times have I been late to an appointment with you? It's working. Everybody doing okay? Amen. All right. Number next, copy the organization you want. You know, there's no new thing under the sun. You're not going to invent something totally brand new organizationally. Guess what? You can go to Big Lots and do the same thing you can do at Lowe's or Home Depot or Office Depot, Office Max, not Staples. That's funny. You know, there are recipes you need to follow them exactly for them to turn out. My wife has a bread machine. And can my wife make bread? Let me tell you. But first couple times she did it, she found out there's a little, just one little thing about that recipe that if you don't do it right, it doesn't turn out right. The yeast has to be room temperature. You take it out of the fridge and put in that thing, it doesn't come out the same way. Just that one little step makes all the difference in the world. That base has to be just right. Gather successful recipes from people that do it successfully. My wife has hundreds of recipe books. I mean hundreds. What's that? Taste of Home stuff. Y'all know what I'm talking about. She's got a gajillion of those things. And I'm glad. I eat well. Amen. I adopted that verse. I'll be fat in the Lord. Amen. Or as Paul said, I'll buffet my body daily. Now, you will be more like the people that you imitate in schedule. You say, well, I recognize that. You got that from, thank you. I'm not afraid to copy what works. It works. By the way, some of you need to copy what your boss does at work so that you can reproduce the success your boss has. Well, he's not saved. Guess what? Unsaved people have successful businesses. Man, did that get quiet. Number three, listen to this statement very carefully. Don't give up when you fail, not if. You will fail. I'm going to make a New Year's resolution. I'm going to lose weight. Yeah, that'll last for 2 weeks and then you're done. Can I tell you why? Because you're trying to do too much at one time. Well, I've got X number of pounds to lose. Shut up. It's none of your business how many I have to lose. But, you know, I've got this much to lose and I'm going to lose it all in this amount of time. No, you just keep working at it till you get to where you're supposed to be. You check in with somebody on a regular basis to keep yourself accountable so that you got to tell somebody exactly where you are. Everybody look at me for a second. I can teach you how to read your Bible every day of your life. You find somebody and you go to them once a week and you write down on paper every day what you read in the Bible and hand it to that person and say, I want you to look at this every week. Before too long, you'll get tired of having blank spaces on that piece of paper. Amen. I've taught many a people to make themselves accountable to me for their Bible reading. Same thing's true with weight loss. Same thing's true with prayer. Same thing's true with your relationships. Same thing's true with all organization, your work. Some of you need to make yourself accountable at work to somebody to make you step up and keep on going and succeeding. Boy, that's good. Failure is a step of success. Did you ever watch a baby learn to walk? They fall more than they walk. That falling teaches them what not to do so that they learn how to walk. And then they're going to take a couple steps and then boom. That's why God builds them so close to the ground. Amen. Because if we fell like that, we wouldn't get back up. Ladies, it's like when you first got married and you first started cooking. It didn't all come out right, did it? There were some recipes that you said, better not try that again. Or maybe I need to try it again, but I better follow it this time. You know, use your failures to show you how not to do something. I had college teachers. Do you know what I learned from them? How not to teach. I did. I had a couple teachers at college that I wouldn't reproduce what they did to save my life. You say, why? Because it was very unsuccessful. So I learned what not to do. Boy, that's good stuff. Number next. Realize you will never totally conquer organization, but it's part of the success of life. Do you know you're always going to be organizing something? Because when you start focusing on something, what you used to organize, you don't organize as well anymore because you quit organizing it. And you started focusing over here. So you get that one conquered, and you go over here and do this one. Now you got two areas that are starting to fall because y'all know what I'm talking about? You're going to live your whole life reorganizing in cycles here. It's okay. That's the way it's supposed to be. Those who do not learn from history are destined to repeat it. God says that we are to forget those things which are behind and reach forth into those things which are before. Quit waiting on life to happen. Those of you that just take life like a stick in the stream are going to float downstream. And you're going to hit every ripple, every bump, and get stuck along the way. Can I tell you why? Because you're just going with the flow. I don't know about you, but I'm going to be one of those salmon. I'm going to swim upstream. I'm going to make it successfully. Say why? I'm going to plan it. Too many people look back and not ahead. And by the way, they live on that roller coaster of emotion. I like roller coasters, but I only go on them when I plan to. I don't live my life on one. You know, there's nothing more fun than getting scared to death on a roller coaster. That's awesome. But only when it's planned. Now, my wife, she doesn't like roller coasters. I got her on one here not too awful many years ago. I said, this one's okay. She said, it doesn't go upside down, does it? I said, oh, no. She said, does it? I said, no, I haven't been on this one yet. It went upside down 4 times. We were going up, and the fingernails go in the arm. You know, it's like, halfway through the second loop, I said, let go of my arm. Say, why? Because I wanted to put them up, amen? Need to get some blood back in them puppies. Now, I like those things. She doesn't like them as well. She doesn't plan to go on those. I do. Now, don't put me on anything that goes in circles this way. You know, merry-go-rounds and things that go in circles. Forget that, man. That's the churlin' hurl. Okay? Now, wait a minute. I don't even like looking at things that go in circles too long. It's like, Now, wait a minute. There are things that you just have to plan so that you don't take it in stride. Enough's going to happen to you to spice up your life in the next year. The more you're planned, the less those things are going to catch you off guard. My grandma's 95. Guess what? For the last 15 years, every year I've planned on her death. Say why? Because I know it's coming one of these years. My dad's 74. We won't talk about how old my mother is. Guess what? I've already planned. Someday I'm not going to have my dad. Every year we go hunting together, I keep thinking, is this going to be the last year we get to go hunting together? Thanksgiving Day, he busted a big doe. I'm sitting in a tree stand praying, oh God, give my daddy another deer. If this is his last year, make it successful. Oh God, please. I don't know how many more years he's going to be able to do it. You know what? I'm going to enjoy every year I got with him, though. I can look back and say, I got to enjoy it with him. And I'm not going to live in regret. You know why? Because I planned it. How's your life doing? Let's keep living a good recipe. Let's find that recipe that works. And as we get good at it, then we can spice it up a little bit. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder, have you planned your eternity? Some of you are saved, but you haven't planned a good eternity. You're not reading your Bible. You're not walking with God. You're not praying. You're not winning souls. How's your eternity planned? I wonder, how's your life planned? Maybe you need to get help. We'll help you.